So glad you could be here for Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. I'm Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Giorgiani and you. Remember, it is your program, your wisdom, insights, takes, your lived experiences really drive the program. And we're going to talk today about something that many of you have an experience of, not a whole lot of people, Debbie, but first of all, how are you?
Great.
Good.
The cable company is right outside my door telling us that the whole neighborhood is using the internet. So, we're all sharing. It's like a party line.
Mm-hmm. Now keep your social distancing going, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. How are you doing, Jerry?
Doing pretty well, thank God.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah. Debbie and I get to start our first share-a-thon of the spring today.
Yes.
For Sacred Heart Radio in Seattle. We're looking forward to that. So again, a really, really honest and sincere and heartfelt invitation to all of you to please support EWTN, support your local Catholic station or network, because the times that we're living in are not getting any clearer and more sane nowadays. It seems like the need is arising mm-hmm. even more. So be sure mm-hmm. to support your local station and EWTN.
And I'm excited for the Sacred Heart Radio listeners. We're on the lineup. Take Two is on the lineup. And so that's exciting. They're going to get to hear it because they usually listen other ways, and it's great. Now they can listen on their local radio station. So I'm very excited about that. Jerry, today is following in your parents' footsteps. Okay, that's today's show, following in your parents' footsteps. Put that in the back of your mind for 1 second. We said that Unscripted was Friday. It's going to be tomorrow. Unscripted is tomorrow because on Friday we're going to be talking all about the founder, Mother Angelica. Amazing show it's going to be on Friday. It's going to be very uplifting. You're going to love it. But today is following in your parents' footsteps. And what does that mean? That means like when you chose your career, the things you wanted to be when you grew up, right? When you were imagining that when you were small, was it something that your parents did? Okay, think about it for a second. Now, I just want to say, Jerry, real quickly, my dad was a life insurance representative for Metropolitan Life for like 55 years or more. It was so much. I can't even count. And so naturally, a few of us in the family went into the life insurance business, because we saw Dad do it for so many years, and then we did it. And then also, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. She worked inside the home with raising six kids. And so many of my brothers and sisters, my sisters chose to stay home to raise their kids. And so isn't that interesting? So we're following in our parents' footsteps, and that's what we're talking about today. How about you, Jerry?
I didn't follow in either of my parents' footsteps. I don't think either of them was a broadcaster. But let me give you the phone number out, and then we'll explain a little bit more. It's toll-free, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. If you followed in the same career path as what we're talking about, maybe your dad was an attorney and you became an attorney, and maybe you joined the firm, maybe you had a mom who was a teacher and you decided you wanted to be a teacher as well. Mm-hmm. Why did you make that decision? We're curious to know what drove you to do that, and maybe if you felt a little bit like you had to do that because...
Take over
mm-hmm. the family business. Mm-hmm. Or were your parents the type that said, look, we want you to do whatever you feel God calling you to do. You do not have to follow in mm-hmm. our footsteps. So there's a lot of different ways we can look at this today.
Right. It's going to be a good show. So let's talk about it and tell us why that was a good thing in your life. And maybe it wasn't so good. You know, maybe your parents forced you, you know, to take over the family business or the family farm or some kind of, long legacy in your family. And you said, I don't want to do that. I want to be a doctor. I don't want to be a farmer. Okay. But you were forced into it. And how have you used your skills to better the family, tradition? Let's talk about all the different angles of this, and let's just see how this weaves into our spirituality. I bet it does, but we need your take on this. 833-288-3986. So let me ask you a question. How did your mom feel, Jerry, when you went into broadcasting? Was she happy or did she say, oh, you're going to struggle your whole life?
Oh, no, she was very happy because I had played DJ, disc jockey in home for many, many years, starting about 13 or 14. I would set up a little cassette recorder, yes, and a turntable. Folks, if you go to a museum, you'll find those things. And I used to play, pretend like I was a disc jockey. I wanted to go to broadcasting school right out of high school. So my career path was just, I was led in this direction from day one, thanks be to God. What about you? You mentioned so the insurance
thing.
She was
very supportive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, my dad was happy. We went into the, some of us went into the, went into the, you know, financial industry and insurance. He was happy about that. He really wanted me to be a golf pro and he worked, his whole adult life and making one of us six kids, possibly set up perfectly to be a professional golfer. I was the one, the last of the litter that had a really good chance. And I quit cold turkey. And my dad wasn't real happy about that. So he was kind of living a little bit vicariously through me, I will tell you, because he was a state golf pro and he really wanted one of his kids to go on the tour. And I came very, very close. So he was very disappointed, I have to tell you. My mom was like, oh, you know what? She's not going to be happy. Let her do what she wants to do.
Well, that's what we're talking about today. Your chosen field or industry, was it similar or exactly the same as one or both of your parents? Maybe it worked in reverse. Debbie, you know well that I have a brother who lives in Phoenix, and his son got a job with the power company there, and then his son helped dad get a job there. So dad followed in son's footsteps. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And also, maybe you're not the only one. Maybe you have siblings, too. All of you, or several of you, followed in the career footsteps of one or more of your parents. So let's talk about this. As Debbie said, we can bring in a faith angle to this as we do on every show here on Take Two. Number is 833-288-3986.
You didn't even pick up my little lame joke that I said when I said I quit golf cold turkey, because, you know, golf can be very addicting. You know, and a lot of people don't realize
that.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize that. In fact, a lot of marriages have struggled over people who like to play golf instead of being home with their family. So we could always talk about that. That would be a good topic. Let's put that on the show calendar. Well, we want to hear from you. This is your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. So please call in at 833-288-3986.
Like father, like daughter, like mother, like son. We're talking today about On Take Two with Jerry and Debbie about children who went into the same career field as one or more of your parents. So if that describes you, if you fit into that category, join us in the conversation. We have two phone lines still open. We'll get to all the other calls in just a moment. 833-288-3986. And a little earlier this morning, it is the Sunrise Morning Show, and you'll hear it every weekday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern Time with Matt and Anna and the entire gang. Fast-moving program, very informative. The Sunrise Morning Show tomorrow morning, 6 Eastern, right here on most of these same EWTN stations.
Okay, we have a couple open phone lines. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us your path on picking a career. Was it for yourself, or did you do it for your mom or your dad, or were you forced into it? We want to hear all the different angles. So just feel free to call in at 833-288-3986. And we're going to go to Marie. Marie is in Golden, Colorado, listening on Catholic Radio Network. Hi, Marie. Welcome.
Hi. Good morning. So my dad was a pilot for TWA, which a lot of people don't know about them anymore, but he flew for TWA. So he was my first flight instructor. He took me through my private pilot license, and then I ended up, long story short, with a major airline. So I fly for a major airline, and then my brother flies for the same airline I do. My sister got her private pilot's license. My other brother, he soloed an airplane, and my husband's a pilot. My sister's husband's a pilot, all for major airline, same one. And now my daughter has her private pilot's license.
Wow. I could just see at a family gathering when you say you want to go up and poke some holes and y'all argue over who's going to fly, right? What a great problem to have. I love this, Marie, because I started taking flying lessons, I think, in about 2000, 2001. And I'm kind of embarrassed to say I still haven't finished yet.
Yes, yes.
Gabby, she keeps encouraging me.
I keep nudging him, Marie.
I've soloed a couple times, did the night cross country and other things like that. But I just, would you describe just for a second, because I know the feeling, but the feeling of being up in the air in a plane by yourself as the pilot, just feeling so free before the Lord in a situation like that, looking down over all of his creation. How does that make you feel, Marie?
Yeah, well, I always fly with somebody because I'm working for a major airline. But when I was flying, my younger years, getting my private instrument commercial rating, and then that was all by myself. And yeah, it's very freeing. It's also very humbling. you have to rely on just yourself. So you have to build and have a little bit of confidence in your abilities, because it's not really a place you want to be where you don't know what you're doing. And, flying with somebody else with you, as you do, in a major airline, it's also an opportunity to evangelize in a way, if it's appropriate. Done that a few times. I've called in before a long time ago where I think I mentioned I prayed the rosary with somebody while we were flying over Kansas somewhere.
Beautiful, beautiful.
It's a feeling of freedom, and for me, anyway, I can't think of another career I'd like more than this.
Wow. Well, Marie, we said that let's see how this weaves into our spirituality, and you touched upon that, and I think that is beautiful. But also, too, you being a commercial pilot, you have that heavy responsibility, okay, of getting passengers from point A to their destination, to point B, okay, destination safely, securely. You carry that responsibility, and they trust you, okay. When you get on a plane, you don't really get to really see the pilots that much anymore. You maybe see them in passing when you're getting your seat, right? But you just naturally have a trust, because you're just saying, okay, I am, I'm saying, okay, I'm putting my, I have my faith in God, but I'm also putting some trust into these wonderful pilots that are going to take this plane to my destination. I want to get there safely. And so many people are praying for you. I don't know if you probably realize that. I've had so many times where I've sat next to people and they said, hey, let's say a quick prayer for the pilots. I said, okay, let's do it. And are you aware of that, or do you go into somewhat of a, you're so trained on what you're doing, you're just so focused?
Yeah, well, both. We are focused, but I also am aware that they're putting their lives in our hands. And at the same token, I want to live as much as they do. So I try to do my best. And every time I walk around the airplane to do that pre-flight inspection, I say a prayer for my passengers. And on my way to the airport, I'll say a decade of the rosary for them, that everybody gets to their destination, to the airport safe. But I always pray for them and for my passengers also, and that the flight goes smoothly, and that God is, and my guardian angel is always with me.
Put those angels on the wings.
Pilot.
Right. Right.
That's right.
I love it.
Yeah. One last quick little question. You've really intrigued us, Marie, with your call. As you're in the cockpit with another pilot, I know you talk about a million different things. Does the faith ever come up? Do you ever get chances to talk about shared faith, or maybe helping someone understand your faith who isn't maybe a person of faith?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I do that as often as I can. I know I have to be a little bit cognizant of, not getting into heated discussions, because it's not the place for it. But yes, I do. I use that as an opportunity. Matter of fact, yesterday, flying with all this stuff going around with the coronavirus, I gave my the pilot I was flying with, I gave her a St. Benedict bracelet. She's somewhat Christian, but not too much. She's more into the kind of the spiritual type of realm. But I gave her a St. Benedict bracelet, and I explained to her what it was about, and didn't go to too much depth about it. Didn't want to overwhelm her, but I just said, I believe in this. And she took it and accepted it and wore it.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
So your career that stems from, you know, your family too, is really turning it into somewhat of a ministry as well, which is a beautiful thing. I mean, when you can do that as you're doing in small, you know, in small ways, but in the when the timing is right, is that I think that's what you're saying. When the timing's right and the opportunity, you take that challenge, if you will, to enter into a conversation about the faith or to give out sacramentals or medals or something of that nature. But I think that's the beauty of it, Marie. And we've done many shows on this, that so many occupations, so many, yours is not a 9-to-5 job, but so many 9-to-5 jobs, if you will, can be ministerial in a sense. Would you agree with that, Marie? It sounds like you're living that out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's what an opportunity. You know, you're stuck inside of a tube for, hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, and you're kind of in a position that they can't go anywhere and run away from you either. But at the same token, you don't want to shove it down their throat. So you just have to use a little bit of perspective and, like you said, to feel where they're coming from. Are they open to even listening?
Right, yeah. Right.
Well, Maria, I think I can speak for Debbie and the entire Take Two family. Thank you for what you
thank
do.
You.
You and all pilots and flight attendants, and they do such a great job getting us where we need to go. And please be safe, Marie. You alluded to the stuff that's going on right now. Hopefully we will see the worst of this in the rearview mirror very soon. But thank you, Marie,
Wait a minute. You can't let Marie go yet. Hold on a second. Okay. Marie, you are a pilot. You can command things. I'd like you to please possibly command Jerry to revisit his training so that he could finally get his license, okay?
I was just going to say that. I was just going to say, Jerry, keep it up because it's worth it. It's so much fun. And once you get your private, you can take people up for rides and then work on more if you want.
Yeah. It's on my list, Marie, believe me. I think it's just a matter of I've just got to discipline myself to do it. So today I get an exhortation to finish my flying lessons. I got an on-air proposal for marriage yesterday, Marie, so this is turning out to be a pretty good week for me. God bless you, Marie.
Thank you, Marie.
Thank you.
You made our day. Bye. Safe, bye. Safe flying. Okay.
Yes, be safe.
Thank you.
That was great. That was great. Great, great call. Jerry, I even said that if you get your license, I would even take on that challenge of going up on a flight with you, which, that's a big stretch for me.
Well, really, it's when you get certain proficiency at it, it's not really that much different than driving a car, except you've got, tens of thousands of feet or 5,000, 10,000 feet beneath you.
Right.
But it's really, I really love it. I love it, those solos. So, yeah, everybody pray for me that I can get my discipline together and get that done.
Bucket list.
Yeah, right.
Yep. I love it. That was good. See, you are having a good week in light of this whole pandemic. You're having a good week.
Yeah, not too bad so far. We're just getting started.
We're just getting started. Okay, so let's hear what Joe has to say. And Joe is in Marquette, Michigan. A first-time caller, Joe. You get our virtual bell. Welcome to Take Two, Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hi. Hello, can you hear me?
Just fine now, yeah, sure. Yep.
Okay, great. So my dad was a mechanic for Chrysler growing up. Told me never to become a mechanic. I enlisted in the Marine Corps at 17, and I wanted to do infantry. They wouldn't let me. And they needed the side of the paper, so they said, well, pick something else. I picked aviation maintenance, and I've been doing that ever since. That was 16 years ago. And he was very happy that I chose a different field than automotive, but it was something I didn't really have a lot of experience with growing up because he didn't want me to do it. And it really turned into a hidden talent that I didn't know I had.
Mm-hmm. And you said, I'll show him. I'm going to do it. Even if he says I can't do it, I'm going to be just like Dad. I love it, Joe. Yep. He must be so proud of you.
Yeah, I really think so. It's grown into something really great. And I've got a small homestead, and, you know, we work on everything from the tractors to the little dirt bikes. I've got 11 children, and got a couple mechanics in there. You know, my oldest son is 17. He doesn't, it's not his favorite thing to do, but it's something he feels confident doing. And we've been working probably since he was 12 on doing anything. It's made him a little bit of money buying and selling four-wheelers and dirt bikes as a, you know, early teen.
Well, Joe, it's you made the comment that your dad said to you, never become a mechanic. And I'm curious as to why, but I'm thinking of, you know, a lot of as families grow up, especially in some of the tougher times that this country might live in, or employment times or whatever, parents want something better for their kids, you know. I don't know if that was what motivated your dad to say that. Do you have any insights as to why he said that? Did he feel like, you know, it was maybe just hard work and he wanted something different for you? Or do you have any sense of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he hit it right there, that he wanted something better. He felt like, you know, you work so hard at it, but in the pay just doesn't seem to reflect that. And I would say that there's a little bit of truth to that. But that going back, you know, I do the aviation's a little bit better pay than automotive. I do a lot of contracting work, so I work, you know, 3-4 months at a time, and then, you know, I can take a break, which gives me a lot more flexibility, and with my family, gives me a lot more time with my children.
Yeah. And being a mechanic, you know, from all the way to personal, you know, mechanics all the way up to commercial. I mean, that takes a lot, you know, there's all the engineering of it and the scientific end of it. I mean, there's a lot to it. My uncle was a mechanic and he was very, very, smart, and he could think, you know, 10 steps down the road. And yeah, it really requires a high skill set. But Joe, forgive me, Joe, I don't know what it is. I'm just in one of those moods, maybe because I've been, you know, we're all self-distancing and, you know, in isolation. But as you were speaking, I was thinking maybe possibly you could have been one of the 11. You sound so young. And do your kids think that you're more like, you know, you look and sound like a brother to them rather than a dad? You sound so young, Joe.
I think so. With especially, you know, when it comes to teaching them later in my career in the Marine Corps, as a more qualified mechanic, you really have to teach the younger Marines how to do it, and you kind of have to let them struggle and learn it. And so I think that kind of fosters in then to my children too, letting them struggle and learn. You know, not doing all the work for them, let them kind of figure it out. And then, you know, when they've got questions, just kind of redirect them.
Wow.
Wow. Well, you've got 11 farmhands there. That's two basketball teams. That's actually a football team.
thank you for being in the Marines. We got to thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your
Marines.
Service. We always thank people who help to keep us free and safe in our nation, Joe. Thank you for that. And just like with Marie, we complimented her and all pilots and flight attendants. We want to thank you, Joe, and all mechanics. I don't know the first thing about changing the oil in my car. So thank God there are mechanics,
absolutely,
both for automotive and for aircraft, like you are, Joe. Thank you so very much, Joe. Blessings during the remainder of this Lenten season to you and your family. Stay safe. And maybe we all pray that we can once again gather at least by the Easter time to celebrate that great, great resurrection of Christ. Yeah. Thank you, Joe, for your call.
Thanks, Joe. Keep that youthful spirit. You got a great, wow, what a great sound. 11 children. That is so awesome. Wow. It must be so much fun, you know, just the noise in the house. Don't you think? Well, you know, we both know. We came from big families.
never a dull moment. Someone's always at somebody's throat, or they're all playing a game together, or, you know, just they must have a beautiful, beautiful home there.
Yep. Well, this is your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We want to know if you followed in your parents' footsteps today. Please call us. We'll be right back.
If you are on the line and on hold, you will get on the air today, so we appreciate your patience. Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and Jeff Burson is on the controls today. Rich Jesse is, I'm not sure, Jeff, you'll have to tell me what Rich is handling today. I think maybe it's social media.
Social media.
And Ryan Penny is on the phones taking your calls at 833-288-3986. And thank you, affiliates, for carrying the program as well. Otherwise, Debbie and I could just come on the air, just not even on the air. We could just get together by Comrex in the morning and just talk for an hour. And
we do that anyway.
Radio show. Right.
Oh, it's all good. We have an open phone line. Plenty of time for you to get on this wonderful show. You know, we're trying to keep it a little light, you know, because everything is so heavy right now. And so I think it's beautiful. We're having some great conversation, learning about our families, learning about the occupations we chose or our parents forced us into and how that's worked out, how the ministry component comes into play. It's a beautiful conversation. Won't you join us at, I feel like Mr. Rogers, 833-288-3986. Let's go to Rose. And Rose is in New York, listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Rose. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here.
You're very welcome. So what do you have
for us? Well, let's see. Well, I did not personally follow in my parents' footsteps, but there are some other connections. Well, my mother had 10 children. I only had two. My mom was a stay-at-home. But when I was very young, I was in the hospital in isolation for a while. It was over Thanksgiving. And from that experience, I always wanted to be a nurse. I was 8 at that time. So I became a nurse, and my father was a mechanic, and I married a mechanic whose father was a mechanic. But then we had two daughters, and one of them went into nursing, and the other one went into my second occupation. I went back to school for music because I'm a church musician, and I wanted to improve my musicianship. And where I live, there's no theological music, so I went for music education and got that degree. So my second daughter, who's really my oldest daughter, went into music education. So my two girls went into my two main careers. I am back working as a nurse and still doing not music education, but church music. So that's how my connection goes.
Wow, Rose, that's fantastic. A lot of great connections there. And just starting with yourself, you mentioned that experience that you had of being in isolation, of being cared for, obviously, by nurses and doctors. And something about that just touched your heart, you know, and said, this is such a giving profession. It's a caring profession. And it obviously sparked something within you. And I just love the fact that your daughters, too, one went into nursing, the other music. And the theological music that you do, obviously, is a great, great gift back to God for the talents that he has given you. And just finally, I'll hand it off to Debbie. But we always say, and Debbie is the one who usually says this. Go ahead, Debbie. I'll let you say. See, she knows what I'm about to say.
Oh, come on. I'll let you do it this time because I really feel it all, especially now. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, Debbie and I always say that we believe there's going to be a special place in heaven for nurses and teachers, right, Debbie? Nurses and teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And first responders, nurses and teachers. Yeah. Yeah, I really do. I feel there's going to be a special place because what you do, the caring and the nurturing and the compassion that you show is so Christ-like, and it's so important and needed for that, not only for that soul, mm-hmm. but for the physical being. And I see it when I even say it, I could feel the Holy Spirit. I just feel it, Rose. I feel that those that have gone into those careers are going to land a special place. But you know, it was interesting when you were talking about mechanics. I just did a quick Google search on, you know, the schooling it takes and the qualifications and the study. And I went, oh my goodness. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you got to learn to be a mechanic at any level. I'm thinking I wouldn't qualify. It's tough. It's really tough. You know, you got to learn a lot, and there is that true science behind it. And it's, you know, Rose, I just have to tell you, I think it's beautiful. I find it interesting, though, I must say, I want to just go back to what you said at the beginning. Your mom worked in the home with, you said, 10 children. You were one of 10, and then you had two.
Yeah.
It's so interesting how so many of us came from big families, yet we had one or two children. It's interesting how we didn't go the big family route. I find that very fascinating. We should do a show on it, Jerry. There's a lot of people that have done that. Isn't that interesting, Rose?
It is. It is. And when I was first married, I thought that having a large family would be wonderful. And the way things worked out, we only had two. So, and we had a third, but who we lost during pregnancy.
I'm so sorry about that.
But thank you. But you know, the two I have are wonderful, and they've given me one little granddaughter.
Oh, I love it.
And lots of smiles on your face, smiles of pride on mom's face, sure, right?
Yeah. Yes, you've got it.
Bless your heart. You are beautiful, Rose.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for gracing this conversation.
You.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, you're welcome. Thank you for taking my call.
Anytime. Please don't be a stranger. This is your radio home. The Take Two family.
Yeah.
It's calls are driven by you, Rose. Thank you so much for being with us today. And that will open up a phone line here. We are talking today about children, maybe children of yours who followed in your career path, your industry, your field. Or maybe in reverse. You know, I mentioned my brother who went into the same field as one of his sons after many years of doing something else. So this is a very interesting conversation, Debbie, I think, that we're having. And
I like
want to give
we're
that
learning.
Number. Yeah. For those who want to, if you'd like to join us, there is still time, 833-288-3986. And we'll go to Adam.
I do like to fix things, though. I have to tell you, I was very intrigued when my uncle used to open up the hood of the car and he would just go at it. And I found myself as like, I was in awe of it. It's fascinating how it all works and everything comes together. And it's just, it's really cool. Anyway, I'd had a flashback of my youth.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I was just walking down my own memory lane.
As promised, going to Adam, who is in Phoenix, Arizona, listening on the iHeartRadio app. Hello, Adam. Good to have you with us on Take Two.
Hello.
Hi there.
Good to be here.
Good.
Hi, Adam.
Hello. So as far as career paths go, I'm actually third generation military. My grandfather was in World War II. Both my parents were in the Army. They actually met in Heidelberg, Germany, where they met, got married, and had me. And you know, I pretty much they actually settled difference. They went the enlisted route. My mom actually got out as soon as she had me. I went to college and went the officer route to their objection. They didn't want me to join. Especially it was around the time 9/11 was happening and all that.
Oh, right. Okay.
And, actually I remember sitting in the mess station, as 9/11 was happening. You know, that was very surreal, but neither here nor there. So now I have a son. He's six, and you know, every time he sees me in my uniform, and when he tells me that he wants to be in the Army when he grows up, and I kind of understand my parents' anxiety, you know,
going through it, experiencing it,
but I mean, if that's what he wants to do, you know, when he gets older, I guess I have to support it because, you know, I don't know what would happen if my parents didn't support me in my decision. So.
Sure. Yeah. I'm so glad that you called in, Adam, because I was wondering coming into this program, which careers or professions, if you will, maybe had the highest number of children following in parents' footsteps. And military is one that came to mind. I know so many military men and women whose children have chosen that for themselves. And I think there's something about I can see why your son would have this desire right now. It may wane later on. He may do something else. But there's something about a man or a woman in uniform, a priest in his priestly clothes, a doctor, a nurse in the clothes that they wear.
Firefighter. Debbie,
yeah, mm-hmm. you're nodding your head. There's something about that. Mm-hmm. You look at that and you say, wow, that person, you know, is special, is important, and especially, Debbie, our military personnel. So a huge, huge thank you to Adam from me, and I know from you as well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I think a big part of it is, you know, growing up in the military, you know, I moved around quite often, and my sole exposure to any type of human society was the military culture. You know, my dad didn't retire from the Army until after I got out of high school. You know, it was kind of natural how you know, for me and a lot of my friends who grew up as Army brats, you know, mm-hmm. kind of progressed there. But the funny thing about it is every Army parent will tell their kid to don't join the Army, go Air Force.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, so I have a couple questions for you, Adam, because you do live in Phoenix, Arizona, and I live in Gilbert, Arizona. Mm-hmm. So I'm right around the corner from you. So are you, a couple questions. So a few things. I totally agree with Jerry. I think because you're an officer and you have that uniform and the respect that people give you, you know, your son is watching that and it's like, wow, I want to be like what dad is, you know, and so that's a natural. I would say, you know, let him walk around in your uniform for a while and then maybe he'll get it out of his system. My dad used to always say that, just put on the uniform for a while and then you'll get it out of your system. But Adam, are you active military and are you stationed here in Arizona? And question for you, while growing up in the military bases and moving around like you did, I don't know if you stated clearly that you were born in Germany or were you born here, did you have a consistent religious education formation growing up, or did you have to kind of just pick it up, you know, by, you know, the parents are the primary catechists anyway, but did you pick it up just from your parents, or did you have that faith community?
Oh yeah, sure. So first question. I'm actually active, what's called AGR, Active Guard Reserve. So I'm active duty in the Army Reserves, actually here in Scottsdale. But second part, as far as religious formation goes, my mom was actually a religious coordinator when she was in Germany. I was born in Germany, and we've been there. Like my dad and mom went back and forth between there and the United States like three times in their career. You know, she was a CCD coordinator on posts in Germany. I think the military archdiocese has, I don't know now, but in the 80s, you know, a very robust formation program, you know, and there were a lot more priests in the Army then than there are now, you know, so for me, it was not hard for me to pick up any of my religious formation. It was just basically, it followed me along when I moved.
Well, Adam, before we let you go, you anticipated another comment that I was going to make, and I'm sure you share this appreciation. Debbie does as well. Having had a brother-in-law in the Marines, a brother in the Navy, both career men, I've traveled a lot over my life, and I've spent a lot of time on the bases where they were stationed. And I've met so many wonderful Catholic priests who were military chaplains. And I have to say, in addition to thanking you, Adam, for what you do, I think some of the most beautiful, outstanding priests, Debbie, that I've ever known were these
courageous
military
too.
Chaplains. Yeah, courageous. Mm-hmm. Father Vincent Capodanno, who was killed mm-hmm. in Vietnam. There's a Navy ship named after him. So,
right.
Yeah, so this is, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
You it know, is faith, beautiful. It's yeah, bringing tears to my eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jerry.
No, Adam, thanks so much. Any last thoughts before we let you get on with your day?
I appreciate you doing this show. I mean, with everything that's going on, it's definitely a change of pace and something that I needed to take my mind away from the monotony of of I guess self-quarantine and everything that's going on.
Well, yeah, because that's why we do this these topics, Adam, because we just want people to just really, you know, be mindful of what's important in their lives and, you know, to be grateful for, you know, it sounds like you have the most beautiful family. I mean, you're blessed. You're absolutely blessed. And your career is wonderful. And now your son is looking up at you and saying, I want to be like you when I grow up. I think it's just beautiful. And that those are the things that we should really spend a lot of time thinking about in addition to what we're going through as a world right now. So we couldn't agree more, Adam. We just need that just to give us a little breather. So thank you for acknowledging that. We really appreciate it. And thank you for your service. Be safe, stay well, and please call again to your show, Take Two. Okay, Adam?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay. God bless you, Adam. Yeah, he mentioned the quarantining, the self-isolation, the coronavirus. I'm sure, quite a long ways from being comfortably behind us. Hopefully it will be before too long. But to that end, I wanted to mention, Debbie, that for all of our listeners, EWTN has the feed that our show is on, and then they have what they usually call EWTN Radio Classics, and that's right. Fulton Sheen, Father Benedict Groeschel, Mother Angelica, and some classic programs. And dear listeners, what they have done during this time of the health crisis is they have replaced those other teaching programs and devotionals with more devotionals, actually. So you get Mass like every other hour, every third hour. You have the Rosary and the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. So if you want to keep your prayer life up, especially during this time that we are kind of locked out of our churches, unfortunately, then go to EWTN.com and look for their Radio Classics, or they may even have it changed to Radio Essentials on the website by now, and get your soul built up.
Yeah, that is awesome. I just love that. You talk about gratitude. I'm so grateful to EWTN. It's always been there for all of us, you know, and it just is amazing. And then the local Catholic radio stations, I mean, they keep going on. It's a consistent thing that we can lean on. It's just beautiful. A lifeline to so many people. Okay, let's hear what Tom has to say. Jerry, my screen just skipped out. Can you help me out? Tom is where?
Well, Tom, you'll have to help me. Saco, Montana, is it? Saco?
Yeah, that's correct.
Saco, Montana.
I'm up in, all right. It's a little tiny town in northern Montana.
God's country, beautiful. I'll bet, huh?
Well, yeah.
yes. But yeah, I'm a third generation on our farm and ranch, and I followed in my dad's footsteps and my grandfather's footsteps. My grandfather homesteaded here just over 100 years ago. So I thought maybe today this topic was for me to call in. I've never called in before, and thought this was probably for me. And they were talking about earlier, some people were talking about mechanics, and that's what I actually went to school for, just in case I couldn't come back to the farm. So I do my share of mechanics here on the farm, too.
Well, yeah, go ahead, Debbie.
I was just going to say, do you have, a ton of acreage? I mean, when Jerry said God's country, I've always thought, I think Montana is such a beautiful state. I've only been through, but I have to tell you, anything on TV that when they focus on Montana, I'm like, oh, what a beautiful place. It's just a slice of heaven. Can you share a little bit, give us a visual of what are you looking out right now on all your, you know, acres and seeing everything and saying, wow, this is God's country.
Yes, I should remind myself of that every day, because we're quite blessed here. So we live in eastern Montana, kind of northeastern Montana. So it's quite different than western Montana, where we virtually don't have any trees unless somebody planted them here. So it's more rangeland for the most part where I'm at. We have a lot of cattle, but we do farming. So it's fairly flat to rolling hills, and we're very remote. I could almost go all week and not see anybody but my family until I go to church on Sunday. But otherwise, I want to make trips into town just so I can visit with somebody. So this self-quarantine, that really, life hasn't even really changed for me. I go to do my work just like I do any other day.
Wow.
But yeah, it's blessed. Right now, we're close enough to the Canadian border. We still have a lot of snow, and it snowed this morning. So it's white when I look out across our
place. Oh, beautiful. Well, you know, we've given kudos to a lot of people in different fields on this program today, Tom, and thank you as well, because you are growing and raising a lot of the food that we eat, so thank you for that. And I have a friend, a very dear friend, who's a priest, and he's stationed in Jordan Valley, Oregon. The town, I mean, might have 100 people in it. They don't have cell phone service, and I got to visit some of the ranches when I was there, and they're all multi-generational ranches, and it's just so beautiful to see the kids. I think if a son or daughter wanted to go and do something else and study to be something else, the parents would be fine with that. But Debbie and Tom, so many of them just from the youngest age, you know, they're milking cows and, you know, picking up eggs and you know, herding cattle mm-hmm. and stuff, that it just becomes so much a part of them that they just say, this is me, this is who I am.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think as one generation to another is a really cool thing.
Yeah. And you know what, Tom, I don't know what it is. It must be my age. I'm approaching, I'm just going to say it, 55. It's coming up this year. And I think so often about what eternity is going to be like. And you know, Tom, I just had this visual come through my little small brain, and I was thinking, you know, when your purpose is completely fulfilled here on earth, and I hope you have many, many more years, I just think how beautiful it's going to be when you, you know, receive your eternal rewards. You know, I pray that God lets you, feel, I should say, if we can feel like that in heaven, feel the gratitude of, you know, you said it's a third generation on your farm and ranch. How cool is it when your family members come up to you and say, thank you, Tom, thank you for keeping the family legacy going. You know, what a beautiful image. It just warms my heart to think that you did that. You carried it on for your entire family. And so way to go, Tom. I think that it's a big responsibility. But you did it. And so I hope many, many blessings continue to flow for you and your entire family.
Yeah, well, thank you. We just happen to be, apparently we're about the same age. That's my age right now. And I do think our family members and relatives do appreciate that we are able to continue on. But like many other farms and ranches, the next generation isn't here to take it over. And
yeah.
Some of this, I unfortunately, and I feel differently about this now, but we only had two children, and I feel like we broke one of the earliest commandments. We weren't fruitful and we didn't multiply. And I think, man, if, you know, the farm and ranch families, you know, the married couples, if they would really just think about that, be fruitful and multiply, our labor shortage on our farms and ranches wouldn't be quite as bad. But anyway, we're in the process of, you know, who's going to take over. You know, I already start, even though I feel like I'm quite young yet, but I got to start thinking about this. Who's going to step in next to take over?
Well, Jerry and I could probably learn the end. I'll move Marty up there. Montana sounds great. No, yeah. Just teasing, Tom.
Well, Tom, you've been a blessing to us on the program today, and I'm sure not only the people of your area, but the people who receive the fruit of the land and the ranching that you do are very, very grateful as well. So thank you, brother. You're a first-time caller only once, so we hope that you'll be a second-time caller someday very, very soon. Julie and the others, doesn't look like we're going to be able to get to you, but in our last minute or so, Debbie, if I may take this moment to, I mentioned this priest friend of mine who is in southeastern Oregon, tiny little town, and I would ask everyone to please pray for him. I'm not going to mention him by name, but please pray for him. He has a vision, dear friends, of a large, huge ranch, 10, 20,000 acres, and he wants it to be for men who get out of prison, ex-prison inmates, men who have gone through addiction recovery programs, and these sorts of things. He wants to provide for them a place not just to live, but to work. And they would have woodworking, they would raise livestock, they would do farming, and really help them be the man that God made them to be, because so many of them are just, you know, ashamed and beaten down and so forth. So I think a ranch of this nature would be just absolutely spectacular and would help so many people. And he's in the stage right now of talking it over with his bishop, who's discerning the same thing. I have no question that this vision has been put on my priest friend's heart by God. So if you would pray for that, I know I would appreciate it, but even more, he would appreciate it.
Yeah, I could see why Tom's story brought it to mind for you, Jerry. And I think, you know, in prayers, the right opportunity will come along for that priest if that's, you know, God's will for him to do. So yes, prayers are powerful. Julie, you have a fascinating comment about what you have in common with your parents. Julie, you can call back tomorrow. Tomorrow is unscripted. Please tell us. We can continue this tomorrow. You come to the table with the topics. We're here to listen and just to talk with you. That's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Please like us on Facebook, Jerry and Debbie, and also go to standtalltoday.com. Don't forget to visit that new website we put forth for you. Until tomorrow, have a beautiful, blessed day. See you real soon.